This month marks the 20th anniversary of Sexual Assault Awareness Month. It has been a national effort to bring awareness to the deep-rooted problem of sexual assault and bring aid to survivors. Locally, there are numerous efforts to continue bringing attention to the problem and the need for greater investment in advancing protective measures. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU. One such event is going to take place over the weekend. It's called the Everesting Challenge. One of its participants is the executive director of Safe House Center in Ann Arbor, which serves as shelter and support service resource center for survivors of sexual assault and domestic violence. Barbara Neesmay, welcome back to WEMU.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get into tomorrow's challenge, I want to explore the prevalence of sexual assault and what we're really dealing with. And the statistics I've read are quite frightening. As provided by the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, one in five women in the United States report having been raped in their lifetime. That amounts to nearly 26 million women. And that's only the reported cases. Now, based on your expertise, is that about in line with what's happening here in Washtenaw County?
I think so. It's just the data is actually abysmal in understanding how reporting works in communities. One thing that's on the side of we would have higher reports is that what little research there is, it is showing that there is a bit of a bubble in reported sexual assaults and potentially actual sexual assaults in the ages bracket of 18 to 24. And having several institutions of higher learning in our community would suggest that maybe there would be more than in an average community. But we do know that there is significant underreporting of sexual assault. Mm-hmm. And as a result, we understand it. I mean, we're going to be literally climbing a mountain when we're biking that level of ascent. But we also recognize that surviving sexual assault is like climbing a mountain. And in fact, what we're doing is easier.
More than 42% of women report being raped before the age of 18, and it goes up to 80% if you go up to the age of 25. Would it be correct to assume then that girls and young women are less likely to report?
Yes. And there are a lot of barriers that are in place for those who are reporting sexual assault. And actually, we're going to be exploring this in a town hall later this month on April 20th, a Facebook Live town hall. We're going to be talking about the underreporting. So I would say that definitely young people are underreporting, and it's for a variety of reasons. One, they fear that they're not going to be believed. Two, they may not have been educated on what consent is, and may believe that they got themselves in the circumstances by virtue of what they wear or where they went, which is never an excuse for sexual assault. It's never about what a person wore or if they've been drinking or at a party. It's always because of the fact that the assailant seeks to assert power and control. And also it's embarrassing to talk about having been sexually assaulted, and nobody is quite sure what it would take for them to feel better. And is reporting to the police or going to the hospital or seeking out counseling going to help? Because people don't talk about having been sexually assaulted and what it involves.
Right. And you mentioned, you know, not being believed, but there's also systemic issues in the manner in which sexual assault is often swept under the rug, with the potential of having to even go to a court if it gets that far and being victimized as a survivor yet again. A lawsuit was recently filed against Eastern Michigan University, EMU Police, and Ypsilanti Police by 11 women claiming not only were they assaulted, but some school officials and police worked to cover it up. It's a claim, by the way, university administration strongly denies. Now, we don't know how that case is going to play out through the court system or through mediation, but how familiar does this situation sound to you?
It's actually very familiar, and it goes back to organizational culture. We do not have institutions, organizations, businesses, society in general does not have, they actively support what we call rape culture, which the facets of rape culture include women being treated as second-class citizens, that the victim is blamed, that perpetrator behavior is at best tolerated, at worst sometimes celebrated. When you look at societal images of sexual assault and how assailants aren't held accountable. Then that's another piece of it, is that, our culture in organizations and in general in society doesn't hold assailants accountable for their behavior. And what's the worst is that I think some people might be surprised to hear that there are no rehabilitation programs in our community for people who commit sexual assault. So all of that points to it's really not taken very seriously. And if places and organizations, businesses, universities don't have direct, consistent messages that sexual assault is wrong, that survivors can be supported, and that assailants will be dealt with and held accountable immediately, then these kinds of things will continue to perpetuate, and we will only see the tip of the iceberg.
We're talking with Safe House Center Executive Director Barbara Neese-May on 89.1 WEMU as we mark the 20th anniversary of National Sexual Assault Awareness Month. How much have you seen awareness grow in this community in your more than two decades of work at the center?
I think it's definitely grown. One thing for certain is that we hear more and more from people that they've heard about Safe House and what it is that we do. And as I talk to people, more people agree that sexual assault and domestic violence are very serious things that are happening, and that survivors deserve support and care, and that those who perpetuate this certainly need to be held accountable. And the stretch goal, I think, for our community is finding clear, effective, and consistent ways for potential rehabilitation and change to happen so it doesn't happen again.
Since the onset of the Me Too movement, has there been more community interest and more and better conversation about addressing sexual assault issues systemically, politically, and socially?
We're making our way. I would not say that our community has it shown up by any stretch of the imagination, but recently Safe House Center wrote a vision where we are talking about how we can be part of trauma-informed change for those who commit sexual assault, domestic violence, while, and of course, this would be a separate effort because we can't have assailants and survivors in the same space, but we are first and foremost 110% committed to survivors getting the emergency support, shelter, counseling, and advocacy that is desperately needed, which in turn increases reporting. I think if a survivor feels like they have a chance at being believed and supported through court processes, through community advocacy, just alone in a room with a counselor being believed, they may be more likely to report what is happening to them so that potentially the harm can stop and the perpetrator be held accountable and maybe even change.
Are there more men getting involved in trying to change the societal culture?
I don't mean to sound, I don't mean to sound hesitant. However, more and more men are coming to Safe House saying, I want to be part of the solution. And there is a learning curve for sure, because I think that men who can't fathom it really can't fathom it. I mean, if they're not perpetrating it, then they can't believe the reasons why somebody would. And learning more about why assailants do what they do is critical for the men in our community.
This is 89.1 WEMU. We continue our conversation with Safe House Center Executive Director Barbara Neese-May. And as this marks the 20th anniversary of National Sexual Assault Awareness Month, Barbara and two others tomorrow will raise both awareness and money by participating in what they're calling the Everesting Challenge. Barbara and Safe House Center board members John Huber and Bill Holmes will hop on their bicycles and ride up and down one big hill over and over again until they've done it enough to match the height of Mount Everest, thus the Everest Challenge. Now, Barbara, what hill are you going to be climbing tomorrow?
We're going to be climbing Sunset Road from Wilt up to Hunt Park. And I've got to give a little bit of the stats of the hill. It's a 10% grade, according to Strava, and my bike friends will know what that means. And the first part of the hill is pretty steep, and then it kind of levels off.
Gives you a little respite.
Yeah, well,
easy for me to say sitting in the confines of my studio here.
Yeah, yeah. I had to put a 42 tooth on my bike, and you know, and people who know me well know I'm more of a dirt biker. I'm a gravel and mountain biker, and so to be putting 32 skinnies, like my gravel bike, I had to, because you can't really buy bikes right now. Not that I really wanted to buy a bike, but bike people understand, oh, come on, it's a great excuse to buy a road bike. But I just had to put some 32s on my gravel bike, which, you know, the real roadies are going to be like, why didn't you go to 28? Well, because my tires wouldn't, my wheels wouldn't accommodate that. And then put a 42 tooth on my gearing, and I'm hoping for the new brake pads.
Well, you know, Mount Everest is over 29,000 feet high. So yes. How many times are you three going to have to go up the hill?
We're, you know, the general consensus is about 300. We have a couple of methods for counting our laps. And also I'm using a Garmin bike computer to watch my ascent. And John and I are going to try and get into the Everesting Challenge completion through, there's an Everesting website. It's complicated. Look it up. Google Everesting and people can learn more about it. And so we're hoping to complete the Everesting Challenge as a result of doing this challenge. And, you know, people are asking, how long do you think you'll be out there? And I'm thinking at minimum, you know, 18 to 20 hours.
Wow.
Huge thank you to the city of Ann Arbor, because they're letting us set up a little bit of a base camp at the corner of Hunt Park. We need volunteers. We need hopefully people will see this as a great way to support us financially, because we've had to cancel a lot of our events because of COVID.
So you decided to torture yourself instead.
Oh, absolutely. Anything can help. Whatever it takes.
Again, this is an awareness and fundraising event, so people are pledging at safehousecenter.org and betting that you'll hit the Everest pinnacle. Now, closing in on $20,000 raised so far with a goal of $30,000. Barbara, if you were a betting person, would you put money on the three of you beating the Everest challenge and the fundraising goal?
Yes. First part is, I can imagine your listeners are saying, this has got to be dangerous. You know, why would they be doing this? And the three of us are endurance athletes. And so, you know, doing some, you know, I've done races for 5 days. I mean, so without sleeping. So I'm familiar with.
I have often sat still for 5 days.
Well, and both Bill and John certainly have, you know, quite the cycling history. So I feel like I'm in good company, even though we're definitely more mature. I think that we're in it to get it done. And I really believe that our community will help buoy us into it. And then after we're done, be more than happy to continue to support us. So I am fully confident that both goals will be met.
Well, we'll be following along, and we certainly wish you well. Thank you for the time today, and as always, thank you for bringing attention and awareness about sexual assault and domestic violence. And again, the best of luck tomorrow on this rather exhausting idea.
Well, thank you, David. We really appreciate it, and we're there for the survivors. We're doing it for survivors, and if anybody who knows someone or someone has experienced sexual assault or domestic violence, they can certainly look us up at safehousecenter.org or call our helpline at 995-5444. And also, we'll be happy to take any good well wishes for no rain.
I am right with you on that. That would only make the challenge more difficult. And if bad enough, I do understand there is a makeup date on Sunday.
Yes, and no rain on Sunday. and looking at the forecast right now, it's a little dicey, but we're, you know, more than likely we're going to be on our bikes by 6 a.m. on Saturday and try to make the best of it.
All right. Well, I am betting that you're going to make it. And that is Barbara Neesmay, Executive Director of Safe House Center, helping mark the 20th anniversary of National Sexual Assault Awareness Month. To find out more about Saturday's Everesting Challenge and how you can help, go to safehousecenter.org. Or, alternatively, go to our website at WEMU.org, and we'll have all the links you need. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.